The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International. Are you waiting for God to fix your problems? Jimmy Evans explains how God has given us what we need to live the overcoming life.
Part of the question is, why does Satan use fear so much? Well, that's what he's full of. See, there's no peace, the Bible says, for the wicked. And he's the ultimate wicked person. This is what the devil thinks in fear terms. He feels in fear terms. That as much as you know the presence of God by peace, you know the presence of the devil by fear.
I'm James Robinson. Betty and I welcome you to Life Today. You know, we're blessed to go to Gateway Church, and Pastor Robert Morris, as most of you know, first taught the Blessed Life here, and he was on our staff and one of our closest friends. And then Jimmy Evans is also pastor. They have beautiful roles at Gateway, and both of them have been a tremendous blessing on Life Today for many years. Jimmy has a great marriage and family ministry that is on television, but also incredible seminars and conferences. He has a book that he has just written and released called The Overcoming Life. Randy and Sheila, our son, and Sheila Walsh interviewed him. And with all that we're dealing with right now and the need for overcoming, dealing with fear, which is major, and then the need to understand the power and necessity of forgiveness. And not only does Jimmy really touch on that in this book and in this program, but Sheila does, and this is powerful. Betty and I really felt that at this moment, we need to share this with you. I think you're going to be very glad we did.
Well, Jesus died not to give us the ability to cope, but to conquer.
Oh my, what a statement.
And so he conquered death and hell. He conquered Satan and all of his power. And he's given us authority, but we have to use it. Luke 10, Jesus said, I give you authority over serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means harm you if you use the authority. If you don't use the authority, you're going to get hammered. And so the wonderful news is we can overcome because of Jesus. We can overcome in any area of life, but we have to claim it. And so this is what this book is about.
Okay, there's a lot, right?
Because that's fascinating. I mean, what would that look like, say, somebody who's trying to overcome something in their own strength, and somebody who then is overcoming in under the authority of Christ?
Yeah. Good, that's perfect. Well, so let me talk about fear. I grew up all of my life fearful and insecure. And when I got saved, now on the outside, I looked real macho, okay? And I acted macho. In fact, the more fearful I was, the more macho I acted. And I tried in my own power to overcome that, the fear. And I just couldn't do it. In fact, it got worse. It didn't get better, it got worse. And I can't remember exactly the series of events, but I got to the point one day, I read 2 Timothy 1:7, and it says, God hasn't given us a spirit of fear. And what I realized was, this wasn't my fear. See, I always felt, and there were events that happened in my childhood that were traumatizing. And see, the devil's not a gentleman. Whenever you're traumatized, he uses that as an open door to come in. And I wasn't demon-possessed. There's no such phrase in the Bible. But it was just, he's attacking us in that area. So I had certain traumas that had happened to me that were open doors, and he was using those to harass me. Well, I didn't know it was him. See, what makes the devil so dangerous is stealth. When he came into the Garden of Eden, he didn't take the form of a wolf or a bear. He took the form of a serpent. And the reason that serpents are dangerous is you don't know they're there. They're stealthy. And so Satan slithers in, slithers out, and he doesn't want you to know it's him. We are his perfect disguise. So he came into my life through me, and he was introducing thoughts and feelings into me that I had no idea were him. I knew they weren't God, but I thought they were me. And what helped me so much was the day that I realized this is a spirit that I have authority over. See, we're not born with any fear. We're born fearless. All of the chronic debilitating fear is of the devil. And you can't defeat it until you began to deal with it as a separate entity.
See, okay, that's interesting, because you could take the idea of a spirit of fear as just an attitude of fear. But you're saying it's more than that.
Well, for many people, their lives are debilitated by fear. Mm. They have this chronic... See, there's a good fear. And a good fear that God creates us with is you're driving down the street, someone swerves into your lane, immediately you swerve out,
right.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
fight or flight. It was temporary, it was circumstantial, and it was helpful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But bad fear is chronic, it's paralyzing, and it's confusing. Mm-hmm. And that what the devil is, and this is the way that I say it, is fear is a prophet spirit from hell sent to give you a negative report of the future so that you'll make a fear-based decision that God will not honor. And see, what fear does is...
I actually would love you to repeat that,
yeah, okay.
because that's really profound.
Okay. Fear is a prophet spirit from hell sent to give you a negative report of your future mm-hmm. so that you will make a fear-based decision that God will not honor. Okay, because God only honors faith. And so the true prophet spirit is the Holy Spirit, and I know the plans I have for you, mm-hmm. says the Lord. Plans of good and not evil to give you a future and hope. Mm-hmm. So God's out here saying, hey, child, it's all good. Now keep walking in faith toward me. Mm-hmm. The devil's over here saying, he doesn't know what he's talking about. You're headed for disaster, mm-hmm. and you better do all these things to keep from happening. And in fact, in the case of debilitating fear, in many cases, there's nothing to do to keep it from happening. Mm-hmm. You're just waiting for the next shoe to drop.
Mm. Isn't that the goal of the enemy?
Absolutely. He only comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And fear, see, the part of the question is, why does Satan use fear so much? Well, that's what he's full of. See, there's no peace, the Bible says, for the wicked. And he's the ultimate wicked person. This is what the devil thinks in fear terms. He feels in fear terms. That as much as you know the presence of God by peace, you know the presence of the devil by fear. Mm. This chronic debilitating fear. And again, the secret is the stealth. Once you realize, anger, it says Ephesians 4, be angry, don't sin, don't let the sun go down on your wrath, you'll give a foothold to Diabolos, the devil. Okay, so what happens when couples go to bed on anger, when you go to bed on anger? So let's just say you're married, and I went to bed on anger for 3 years. Okay, I was mad at my wife for 3 years. Okay, so I went to bed on anger. When you go to bed on anger, the devil slithers in and accuses your spouse, slanders your spouse to you. Oh. So you fall in love, you just feel so great about each other. How does a couple go from being so madly in love and thinking the best of each other to just hating each other and thinking the worst? Well, part of that formula is you go to bed on anger, you don't resolve it, you don't talk it out, work it out. And the devil slithers in and slanders your spouse to you. He slithers out. You wake up the next morning and you've been counseled by the devil and you don't know it.
Wow.
Wow, that's
wow.
huge. Wow. I mean, that's huge. I'm thinking back in early years of my marriage, and that's exactly what would happen.
Yeah.
I would get so mad at Barry, and I didn't want to talk, and I would go to sleep.
Yeah.
And you're absolutely right. You're counseled by the enemy.
Yeah.
That's a horrific thought.
I did that for 3 years. That I would, in my family, when we grew up, we didn't know how to deal with anger. Mm-hmm. So you just didn't make eye contact. And you knew, we didn't know
so
how to
talk.
So
you never deal with anything.
Well, you knew how mad somebody was at you by how long they wouldn't look at you. Well, that's the most dysfunctional. Well, that's what I did to Karen. So when Karen would make me mad or something, you know, I'd yell at her for a minute or whatever, and I would go silent for days. Mm-hmm. And just to punish her. Well, it was the most dysfunctional thing in the world. But I was under the influence of the devil's thinking. I was literally looking at my wife through the devil's eyes. And I believe that I had made a mistake.
I can't just move on. I mean, that's huge, Jimmy.
It's huge.
I mean, I think of how many Christian couples, that's their story right at the moment,
absolutely.
And they don't even recognize it yeah. because they think, well, this is just what I think.
Yeah.
They don't realize, no, actually, I've been counseled by the enemy.
Yeah, it's a spiritual world that we live in, and we have to see through those eyes. Yeah.
Let me ask you then, so I'm thinking of a couple that are watching right now, and they're sitting there, now. They're not even looking at each other as they're watching this program. How do you deal with that? How do you interrupt that? How do you change that?
Well, first of all, you have to realize that the devil hates you. He hates your marriage, and he's there to destroy you. And if you're a couple, your spouse is not the enemy. The devil's the enemy. And you have to come to the point of realizing, Sheila, like you said, and I did this for years, that when I go to bed on anger, it is an open door. Mm-hmm. And the devil's going to take that door every time because he wants to come. He only comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And you have to come to the point of saying, and I had to say this, I've made mistakes. And these mistakes have been devastating to our marriage. And the mistake that I made for all those years was going to bed on anger and believing that my wife was the enemy. I truly believed that she had all the problems. And if she would change, our marriage would change. And I believed I made a mistake. Mm-hmm. I know where I was standing, and I know the moment when I had the thought, I shouldn't have married her. Mm-hmm. Now, we've been married 46 years. I married the perfect woman. But back then, because I was under the influence of mm-hmm. the devil's thoughts, I thought I'd made a mistake.
So hang on. I can't remember if we talked about this before the show or yesterday's or the previous show, rather. But the first thing that mankind does is deflect that blame, right?
That's right.
The devil made me do it.
That's right.
Which there's an element of that, but yet you're saying you had to own up.
That's right.
So how does that all work between pointing the blame at the devil and then owning up for our own shortcomings?
Yeah, his part of the formula is he's going to take the door that I leave open.
Yeah.
I left it open.
Yeah, okay.
When I went to bed on my anger, see, even if your spouse won't talk things out, you can devil-proof your heart. And Ooh. Before you go to bed, you can say, Lord, I forgive them. I'm not going to punish them. You know, I pray that you'll bless me and protect my heart. I pray you bless them. That's not the problem. The problem is when you go to bed and you're laying there and all these thoughts are racing around your head and you're all the what ifs and all the scenarios of, you know, what's going to happen. That's when the devil begins to play with your mind. So he took the open door. I left it open.
Yeah.
That's my part of it.
Yeah.
But that's beautiful
that is,
because
yeah.
some people will think, well, my husband doesn't want to reconcile tonight. That you're not left abandoned
that's
in that.
That's exactly right.
But, you know, what you're talking about makes me think that's how you can get to the place where the person that you looked at and said, I love you more than Andy, you can suddenly think, you're an idiot.
That's exactly right.
That comes from the pit of hell.
It
that's
does.
Not from, I mean,
it
that's
does.
Huge.
You're looking at it through the devil's eyes. That's that idea right there is that'll stop you. What you're talking about in a lot of cases is unforgiveness, and that's even bigger than the marriage relationship.
Yeah.
That's something that scars people for life, their entire lives, and it can be family, it can be work, it can be friends. Do you find that unforgiveness is one of the biggest areas where we need to learn how to overcome it?
I think it really is probably the biggest, because we're all going to get wounded in life. And this is in the book, there's a chapter on unforgiveness. I'm not a hater, I've never been a hater, but there have been a couple of people that I really hated. And one guy in particular just did me a lot of damage. And I just hated his guts and wanted him to die. I just had a little torture chamber in my heart and I drug him down there 5 or 10 times a day and just beat him up, you know, beat the nonsense out of him. And so I just hated his guts, I just did. And it doesn't matter who you're unforgiving towards, it comes out on the people closest around you.
Yeah.
And so what happened was it came out on Karen. I began to be short with her, and Karen walked up to me one day and she said, your personality's changing. And I felt oppressed, you know, the longer I hated him, because I hated this guy. And so I was praying one day and Karen said, you need to deal with this. And I knew, and I was a pastor. Okay. So, I mean, this is not back in my bad days. So I was a pastor and I was praying one day and the Lord said, I want you to bless him.
Yikes.
And I said, No, I'm not going to bless him.
Well, he didn't deserve it, I'm sure.
No, and I thought, you know, Lord, if I prayed a blessing on him and you actually blessed him, now I'm mad at you.
Yeah, yeah.
And
yeah.
the Lord never says, Jimmy, you're right. You know, so the Lord kept on. So he said, I want you to bless him. And he just stayed in my face about it. So finally, I prayed a prayer of blessing, didn't mean it. And here's what the Lord said, you pray for him like you pray for you. And I thought I'm such a wonderful person. I deserve to be blessed. And the Lord said, so I prayed the prayer, had my fingers crossed, didn't mean it, you know, it made me sick to pray it. And the Lord said, I want you to pray it every day.
Yeah.
And so I woke up the next day, prayed it, didn't mean it. And I woke the next day, prayed it, didn't mean it. I think it was 10 or 12 days into praying for him and his family every day. And I was praying one day and I saw a little 10-year-old boy standing out in a field and kind of on a ranch, kind of by a house. And I knew it was this man that I hated, okay, is a little boy. And what I knew is something horrible had been done to him.
Mm.
And the Lord said to me, you see him for what he did to you. I see him for what was done to him.
Mm.
And instantly,
wow,
all the rage and hatred became compassion. Yeah. And I never, ever felt ill toward him again. And here's why I say it. A lot of people will say to me, they'll say, Jimmy, I have prayed to forgive my abusive father, stepfather, mother, ex-husband, ex-wife a million times, but nothing changes. Jesus said, bless those who curse you. Pray for those who spitefully use you. That's not trite advice.
Yeah.
That is healing.
Yeah.
And if you can't bless, you haven't forgiven.
Yeah.
You can say with your lips all day long, I forgive you, but you have to take it to the next level. And I'm talking about people that sexually abused you. I'm talking about people that did horrible things to you. Jesus forgave us all that we did. We put Jesus on the cross. We did. My sins put Jesus on the cross. So whatever a person does to me does not compare to what I did to Jesus. And so it's grace for grace.
Yeah, I also find that when you get stuck there, a lot of it is that conflict we have with that sense of justice.
That's exactly
which is
right.
A right sense. But what we essentially say is, I trust my sense of justice more than I trust God's.
That's right.
By holding on and not just letting them go, letting someone off the hook,
that's
putting
exactly
them on
right.
God's hook.
Well, bitterness is a justice spirit. See, bitterness demands justice before it'll move on.
Mm.
It's the opposite of grace. Mm. See, grace says, you're God's, God gave me grace, I give you grace, I'm gonna go out down the road, I don't have to have justice. But bitterness is, I demand justice. But the thing is, that's great. If you want justice, then God has to get justice with you. And see, when Jesus in Luke 6 says, given it will be given to you, good measure, pressed down, shake it together, running over, the context there is grace.
Mm.
Wow.
He says, hey, love those who hate you.
Yeah.
You know, bless those who curse you.
Yeah. We like to quote the model prayer, the Lord's Prayer, we call it. Mm-hmm. Do we read the next two verses?
That's right. That's exactly right.
You know, it's so interesting because 20 years ago, somebody really wounded me. And for 10 years, I prayed to forgive them. And I still felt this lump in my heart. And then I began to pray that God would bless them, would bless everything that they were doing. And 2 weeks ago, it's the first time I've seen them in 20 years. And when I saw them, it was like my heart was full of love for them.
That's
I went over and hugged them. And it was like, and we both asked each other for forgiveness.
Wow.
But this, you're right, there's such power in praying blessing. And it's trust in God's goodness when you pray a blessing on other
exactly
people.
Right. It's the ultimate form of God's love. Mm. You know, it's easy to love someone who's lovable.
Yeah.
Sure.
You know, it's so difficult to love the ornery ones and the hard ones and the mean ones.
The ones that don't deserve it.
That's exactly right.
In our eyes.
Yeah. But, you know, the loving people like that is a Christ-like spirit. Mm-hmm. And in many cases, it shows them Jesus in a way that they've never seen it.
I mean, if anybody could have said, this is not my job, that would have been Christ on the cross.
That's right. That's exactly right.
If there was
right.
ever anyone who could have said, I don't have to do this, it would have been him.
Yeah.
But he did everything for us.
That's exactly right.
So it's a privilege to forgive.
Well, I hope you understand you can have an overcoming life in an overwhelming world, a world that's so out of control. You can be brought under the control, listen, of the greatest force and source in the universe. God's grace, God's comfort. Father, we pray that for everyone. And we really believe Jimmy Evans has offered us something. And I pray, dear God, that everyone will take opportunity to get the help he offers in Jesus' name. This really is, this isn't just coming from a pastor, a shepherd, Jimmy Evans. It's coming from the Lord, the one who enables us to overcome. And I can tell you, boy, this has been a real challenge, what everybody's gone through. And Betty and I have been amazed at the grace because, I mean, this, you know, a lot of people's idols, everything they really like is gone. Whether it's sports, entertainment, whatever. It's over. Now, we believe it's coming back. And let's pray it never comes back as an idol, because we've seen we can live without it. Might not have enjoyed it as much. But if we get the joy of the Lord and the overcoming that He offers, then it's going to be amazing what happens. But you just make a gift to help us give these Christmas shoes and smiles, and we're going to send you the book if you'd like to have it. Well, we're going to give some people a smile. We're going to give shoes for Christmas. And we're going to give smiles. You know, Betty and I made a commitment this week to give two smiles immediately. And that's what we're going to do. And we're going to be giving some shoes, too, because we always do. I want you to watch closely. I would really watch this very prayerfully. And then say, God, what do you want me to do? Can you give somebody a miracle? Could you give them a smile? Something they thought they might never see and the parents so wanted. Yes, you can. Watch closely.
The day my child was born, I was so very happy. But seeing the shape of my baby's little mouth broke my heart. My child deserves to know love and happiness like anyone else. But everyone just turns their eyes and looks away. Each day I pray that God will send someone to help us. What's a mother to do?
Each day, another child, already destined to grow up in a developing country, is born with yet another challenge from birth to overcome: cleft lip or cleft palate. And the question remains, what's a mother to do? Fortunately, every year at this time, Life Outreach International and our mission partners around the world seek children who need corrective surgery through our Christmas Shoes and Smiles emphasis. The corrective surgery provides them a gift for a lifetime, a smile that will last forever. We also see children smile when they receive shoes to protect their feet from injury and disease. This Christmas season, help answer the question of what's a mother to do by providing Christmas shoes and smiles to children in need.
I have to smile. I cannot look at that and not smile. Look at me just a moment right here. I'm glad I can smile. And I've seen so many of those little children. I remember seeing a little boy in Angola. It was like he had never seen his face clearly in a mirror even. And we showed him a playback. We were talking to him, and we showed him on a monitor. And when he saw himself, he threw his little hands over his face and screamed and ran. And did you know that in love, when I showed that response to people here in the United States and around the world, did you know that viewers said, we're going to give that little boy a new smile? And we had to literally, and you gave it, the money to take him from Angola to Johannesburg where he could get the surgeon capable. And your love gave that little boy a smile. He didn't have to run from his own face. Father, I pray for every mother, every father that's ever looked at a little child and wished they could smile. And that little child wished they could. Sometimes they can't even eat properly. They have such a tough challenge. Would you give us lots of smiles? In Jesus' name. You know, I hope every time you watch me in Better Life Today, I may say some corrective words, hopefully in obvious unconditional love, but I hope we make you smile, because you sure have made a lot of mothers and fathers smile when you saved their children, you saved their families, and you gave them a future. And right now, we can give some children shoes for Christmas. I mean, this is not a life or death thing, but for some, because they get infections and hookworms and that can take their life, so it can be life or death, but basically it's just joy. It's just showing them you notice. But these surgeries, I can tell you right now, Betty, and I know you're for this, I don't have to ask permission, but we're going to write a $1,000 check today as soon as we leave here. We're going to leave $1,000 for these smiles, and then we'll be giving shoes too, a bunch of them, because we do every year. That's why we got so many of these beautiful little shoe ornaments hanging on the trees. I mean, they're just everywhere. Betty just loves them. Our family loves them. Our children, grandchildren do. Would you make the best gift you can today? $36 will give 10 pairs of shoes. And Betty and I are going to give that $1,000 right now, and that's two surgeries. Go online or call that number and take your bank card and use it like a check and make the greatest gifts you possibly can. Give some smiles. If you give $1,000 or more, I believe you will. And I believe there'll be a smile on your face when you do it, either online or calling in. If you write a check, make it to Life. Put it in the mail, but call us and tell us you're mailing it, because we need to know if we're going to be able to get all these shoes and how many surgeries we are able to provide. Thank you so much.
Poverty is a killer. And because of it, children needlessly suffer, not only from a lack of food and clean water, but also from a lack of things we often take for granted, like a simple pair of shoes. Far too many children living in extreme poverty have never owned a new pair of shoes. And while that may seem minor in light of all their needs, Walking with bare feet puts them at risk of life-threatening infections and disease that could lead to crippling consequences and even death. By responding today, you will help secure and make ready 150,000 Christmas shoes to be shipped and delivered to children around the world just in time for the holidays. Your gift of $36 will help provide 10 pairs of shoes. A gift of $72 will help provide 20 pairs. And a gift of $180 will help provide 50 pairs of Christmas shoes for children in need. As a thank you for your gift of support, be sure to request this beautifully crafted blue crystal shoe ornament, a treasure to display at each Christmas. With your gift of $100 or more, you may also request this keepsake boxed set of all Life's Christmas shoe ornaments. Finally, please consider a gift of $1,000 or more to help provide 275 pairs of shoes or two children with corrective cleft lip or palate surgeries, and you may request the beautiful A Mother's Strength bronze sculpture. Please call, write, or make your gift online today.
Well, Betty and I just say thank you. You know, we're making that gift of two smiles. And we will send Jimmy's book, You Just Give Shoes. You give a smile, it'd be wonderful. But you just make a gift to help us give these Christmas shoes and smiles. And we're going to send you the book if you'd like to have it. I think it would be a tremendous blessing to you. I really believe that. Thank you so much for watching. Thank you for giving us an opportunity in life today to share what God puts on our heart. And thank you for joining us in prayer. We share the concerns. You pray for them. You share your concerns. We pray for you. Thank you for caring about others. God bless you.
Regardless of your net worth, estate planning benefits you and your family before and after death and results in peace of mind. As a free service to our friends and partners, Life Planning Services, a ministry of Life Outreach International, can help with your estate planning needs and chart your financial future. Don't put off this important step to peace of mind through better planning. Contact Life Planning Services today.
So the Christians were the bad guys.
Wow.
And we were the saviors of these women.
Abby Johnson, next week. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.